good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, Cudahy to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade, which means distant thunder in the sacred voice of Ho-Chunk Nation. My colonized name is Robert Pilot, and we discuss local and national Twin City news and events. And as you all know, Twin City are Native issues, are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline. Call them at 651-304-9986. They're open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. for all your COVID-19 questions.
Yeah, we have a lot of exciting things happening, and I know one of them that's happening we can't really talk about, and the other one that's happening we really can't talk about. But it is a talk show, so it's really hard.
What are you talking about?
I don't know, but, you know, I see Mary Kunish on right now. Mm-hmm. Let's bring her aboard. Maybe she can figure out what I'm talking about. But we just got to say, wow, Mary, you're a grandma now, and all these exciting things. Congratulations.
Your first grandbaby. Oh,
you're on mute. You're on mute.
I don't think she came on this room. That's great.
Okay.
There I go.
Okay. All right.
I'm so excited I forgot to turn the mute on. My beautiful daughter made me a grandma this past Monday. And so we are just over the moon, excited and in love with this little girl. Yep.
Cute. What's her name, if you don't mind me asking?
Sure. Her name is Rita Jeanne d'Arc Dubay.
Nice.
How's that for a name?
That's awesome. Wow. I speak French, too.
Beautiful.
I always told my students I spoke French, and do you know what mosey lawn means in French? And I'd say, cut the grass, mosey lawn, yes.
Mosey lawn. Yeah, she's, Rita is the dad's name, grandma's name, and Jeanne d'Arc is my daughter Louisa's grandma, who is Lebanese, actually. And Jeanne d'Arc means Joan of Arc.
Wow.
And so she's named after her two great grandmas.
That's fantastic. I love that. I really do. That's beautiful. Awesome. Congratulations and best wishes, Mary, really.
Thank you.
Yeah. Hey, Mary, can you hold on for a second? We're going to hit Ogama with the news, but we saw you on and we couldn't wait any longer to congratulate you. So welcome. And hey, we have Ogama with the news, and you don't hear this news anywhere else other than probably Native Roots Radio. So welcome, Ogama.
Hey, Anibuju, everybody. Am I coming in clear today?
You are.
Yes.
All right. I apologize for my fashionably late entrance today.
It was Indian time.
It was Friday in my house, and things got like a little bit out of hand today. But as always, I want to start with a little bit of news on line three. Water protectors are set to deliver 1 million petitions to stop line three's oil pipeline. Indigenous leaders from northern Minnesota are to deliver the petitions to the Biden administration at the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers headquarters. This, I believe, is going to happen during the People versus Fossil Fuels rally coming up, which starts on Monday, October 11th. Robert and I will be present there down boots on the ground in the Washington, D.C. area to cover on Indigenous Peoples Day, the actions that will take place there. And it looks like on Tuesday, October 12th, about 100 Indigenous leaders and supporters who have been resisting the construction of the expanded Line 3 tar sands pipeline will deliver 1 million petitions asking the Biden administration to stop the project pending a full environmental review. So that's going to take place from 1:30 to 2:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Tuesday, October 12th. It's going to be at the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers headquarters at the front of the building in Washington, D.C. So that will be something that we will be maybe covering from a distance as we can. I think Robert and I are coming in on a quick in-and-out flight for Indigenous Peoples Day. But some some of the water protectors that are going to be frontlining are going, and for this event are going to be Tasha Martineau, Tanya Abed, Ron Turney, Sasha Bolio, Silas Neeland, Bill McKibben, John Miller. There's going to be a lot of people who are Indigenous people and allies who are going to be at the rally. So that is a really exciting Stop Line 3 turn of events that's happening. If you have not yet heard, the People versus Fossil Fuels rally will be happening in Washington, D.C. again Monday, October 11th through Friday, October 15th. There are different events happening each day, events for Indigenous and people of color, events for youth. There's just going to be so many things, and there's so many different wonderful organizations nationwide who are involved in this event. So if you have not yet and you are interested, go to peoplevsfossilfuels.org. If you are not able to go to the Washington, D.C. area, it is a big ask. We completely understand that's a lot of time and money. There's definitely something going on in your area, more than likely somewhere for Indigenous Peoples Day. I know Duluth is having some events. The Twin Cities is definitely having events. I'm sure there's probably going to be events at Madison. And I know that there was an event scheduled or planned to happen sometime in the Chicago American Indian Center as well. So that covers all three of our listening areas on the radio. But if you're online, make sure you search for one of those events and ways that you can get involved. Wendy, do you have plans for Indigenous Peoples Day? Well, Robert and I are in the midst of everything at the Capitol.
Yes, I do. There's a couple of things going on here, so I'll be checking them out.
And Native Roots Radio.
And Native Roots Radio. I will be here at the mothership holding down the fort, and Lewis and I will be broadcasting for ourselves here. We're hoping that you guys will be on and clear, but we will be ready for any technical difficulties that we get.
Well, Ogama will be on. I'll be with one of my in my Chicago meeting via the computer.
Okay.
So I won't be on this Monday or Thursday, but I'm sure you guys will hold down the ship. And shoot, you could even call Mary. I bet she'd come on the show Monday with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That would be wonderful. And then just in another bit of, I guess, semi-local and national news. I know I mentioned this a few weeks ago, but as we draw closer, it's about 10 days away. I want to remind people that the United States Poet Laureate Joy Harjo from the Muscogee Nation is going to be live on October 18th at 7 p.m. Central Time through the Fond du Lac Tribal Community College. The event is called Bringing Joy, and it is a virtual event that is free, hosted by the Fond du Lac Tribal and Community College and several other organizations. So if you want to register for the free event, go to fdltcc.edu and you'll find it under the events tab. So that is going to be a really fun free event that you can tune into to check out to attend Bringing Joy with Joy Harjo.
Wow.
And
that's awesome.
It starts at 7 p.m. right after the show, so I'm really hoping to get in on that one to just go right from one to the other. I don't know if any of you know this, but I'm a little bit of a poetry nerd, so I'd be pretty excited to be even in the same virtual space with Joy Harjo personally.
Well, we know you're a writer too, because when we first had you on our show, you did stories.
Yeah, essays. They were awesome.
Yeah. And we really missed that, but we could probably play one of your old ones, but those were really, really cool. But we missed that.
Yeah, I just want to give Sue a shout out. Sue, I was having dinner with Jeff just last night, and he said that you listened to the show, so thanks for listening. We appreciate it. Sue.
Well, wow, we're giving shout-outs. Well, I'll give John.
I just felt like it because I was out last night.
Indian Movement photographer John Anderson listens to our show every day, and I just wanted to give him a shout-out. And he's going to be one of the artists that's going to be in our store in downtown Minneapolis. So. Okay,
and I want to give a shout-out to Tiergan for listening to the show.
Well, and I want to give a shout-out to Mary's grandchild.
Absolutely. And Tiergan, I have a surprise coming in the mail for you, so keep an eye out for a package.
Oh, stay with us. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and up next, State Senator of Minnesota, Mary Kunish. We'll be right back.
Stay with us.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me, Wen. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex, recording sexual acts without permission, hurting someone because of their sexual orientation, raping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger, purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back. Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake and I'm your host, Wakunjahare.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
We're going to go see Spirit Horse when we're in D.C. He'll be there, Dallas Goldtooth, and it'll be good. Maybe we can do another promo with him.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. I love it. He's awesome.
A little reservation dog stuff. But hey, we have State Senator Mary Kunish, Wendy, and we have a lot to catch up on because I think Mary in 2 years has missed like two shows. And so, you were excused in this last one with the grandchild, but we're excited. It seems like we haven't seen you in a while, so we're going to have a lot to talk about, like what you're going to do on Indigenous Day and the whole week, and we'll talk a little bit more about your grandchild, possibly. Welcome. Sure. Welcome.
Thanks. So, yes, Monday is Indigenous Peoples Day, otherwise known as a different day. So there's a lot of people that have the day off from work, and I keep saying, wow, you get Indigenous Peoples Day off now? And they kind of look at me, and then they're like, oh, gotcha. But it's always been a really big day, and unfortunately, you know, these past few years when I've been teaching, I haven't been able to take off and do all the wonderful things that are going on around the Twin Cities. So I'm going to get up bright and early and join a bunch of other people, whoever follows and shows up at the Dame Acosta for a sunrise service. I was there last year.
It was amazing.
Yeah. And I mean, the weather is so nice. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen on Monday at 6:30, but I'm just imagining it's going to be just a lovely, lovely way to start the day. And then there are events happening all over the Twin Cities. Tiwahe Foundation, that I'm a board member on, is having an open house from, I think, 4 to 6 in St. Paul. If you'd like to stop in there, Tiwahe is a nonprofit organization that does direct grants to urban Indians. And it's just been an incredible experience to be a part of that and to be able to, facilitate those direct grants to students who need help with tuition or electronics, grandparents that need a little help getting their kids to ceremony or to
radio shows,
event.
Or radio shows.
Yep, or video shows. Yeah. And so they just opened up a new round of direct grants. So if you are want to know more about it, or if you want to donate to Tiwahe so that we can continue this direct granting, or if you would like to apply for one of the grants, just go to tiwahe.org, T-I-W-A-H-E.org, and the information is there. So they're having their open house, but I'm also going to go down to Wakan Tipi. They are having their celebration down there at sunset. So it'll be, you know, from sunrise to sunset, I get to go join community in different ways. And I'm really looking forward to it.
I know it's kind of sad that I'm going to be in D.C., but because there's all these great things and great allies. I have a quick question about the grant situation. So is that just a local thing? Is that a Minnesota thing, or is that a Twin Cities thing? No, go ahead.
Sure. So it was originally founded for to support the urban Native community. And they have expanded it to accommodate other folks, but it's really specifically for the urban Indians and close by. But we would like to eventually expand it to greater Minnesota and make it available to Native folks throughout Minnesota, because if it's one thing we've realized, there is a really strong need just to, you know, in a moment of need, whether it's to buy, you know, steel-toed shoes so you can work, or you need, you know, material for beading or to make drums, you know, every little bit helps towards the future. And that's really what we're all about. So for now, it's mostly urban Indians, and the grants range from $500 to $2,500. And they really are specifically around education, health and wellness, economic independence. People have applied for loans to help with their rent or to help with a down payment on a house. And then really at the heart of it is that we want them to be able to also have access to ways to continue the Native culture, whether it's learning the Native language or developing kinship ties, you know, learning from family and elders and other community members. And then if they need some help learning traditional and cultural practices. So it's a wide breadth of opportunity. And I just can't say how proud I am to be to sit on the board of this program.
I'm asking for a friend, but if you won a grant the year before, can you apply for another one? Or is it every other year? I know there used to be some sort of limitations on that, but I know COVID was a little different.
It was because we were also able to access CARES dollars. And so we had an extra amount of dollars and a larger amount of dollars. I think You can receive these grants more than once, but I think that when they, and I'm not on the grants committee, but I think they, you know, there's a grading system, and if you get a higher score, you are a higher need, and so you can always apply again and again. And if you didn't receive one, go and apply again, and you never know. So
there's some awesome alumni of this grant winning. I remember we were at a
fundraiser,
a banquet,
yeah.
A banquet or gala, and Tall Paul was the rapper was the master MC, and he got a grant when he still uses the same laptop for all his music that he's been producing over the years, and And there was a couple other people too, but it's...
Yeah, there was a student whose tuition was helped and she was really appreciative and it was really a wonderful event.
Yeah, as a matter of fact,
when I was... You really see the work, how the grants are really helping, yeah.
Yeah, and her brother was in my homeroom last year when I was still teaching. So
that's
just crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, doing great work.
It's amazing how many people are touched by it and how many people will tell me I was a grantee and what a difference that it made in some of those individuals' family. I mean, last year during the COVID dollars, there was a grandma who had a couple generations living with her in her home. She owned her home, but she needed a new sewer line out to the street, and you know how much those things cost. I mean, it was ridiculous how much. And you know, she applied for the grant, and we were able to help her out with that. So it's just, the stories are just heartbreaking, and when we can make a difference, it's all worth it in the end.
It really is. I know Lewis does some really great work for his tribe in South Dakota and the same kind of thing. And I know the first year that we had our radio show, we gave out $1,000 to 8 people in need during the holidays. And I know how exciting that is. It's just to be a part of that, Mary, is just amazing.
You know, it absolutely is. There have been times in my life where I've had major hardships. And I do remember a Christmas where I just remember sitting in my living room with my eyes full of tears because I had no money to. My daughter wanted this pair of jeans that were, at the time, I thought ridiculously expensive, but that's all she wanted. And you know, I didn't have the money to buy that for her, a pair of jeans. And so it's that kind of empathy that we bring to this foundation. And the people that that are there now, especially on the grant committee, are just really, really devoted and absolutely vested in the community and reaching those community members where they are, not with any expectations or judgment, but just where they are.
Did you say how long this organization's been around?
Oh gosh, I think it's been at least 10 years. And if any of you know Kelly Drummer, she now has, she's at Migazy.
Yeah.
She and a number of founders were absolutely, responsible for putting this together and building up enough money so that we can continue to do the work. Oh, it was launched in 1993.
Wow.
So in 93, yep.
Wow.
That's just a great organization. And it was interesting, too, when we were at that gala, we had the sous chef did the food, and it was a lot of vegan morsels that Wendy could even jam on, and that was awesome. And now he's got a restaurant, and it's just a beautiful circular thing here that we like to keep going, and I really appreciate it. Mary, I know you're busy now that you're Gaga, which means Grandma in Ho-Chunk. Do you have time for another segment with us?
Sure, I saved it just for you.
Awesome. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back with State Senator of the great state of Minnesota, Mary Kunish.
Stay with us.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by, stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition.
My grandpa Jim Warner treated his customers like family. Warner's Deli is still doing that today. I'm Angela Warner, and to thank you for 67 years, Warner Stellion is offering unbeatable savings on thousands of in-stock appliances, free delivery, and 2 years special financing to qualified buyers. Plus, go to warnerstellion.com for a $50 coupon you won't find anywhere else. These deals end October 13th, so visit us in-store or online soon. You'll love your new appliances and Warner Stellion.
Hi, I'm Scott Chambliot from Chambliot Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, shame-free dental office. We know dental anxiety and dental phobia are real. We'll take the time to get to know you and give you what you need to be comfortable at all times. We offer free nitrous oxide laughing gas and have high-tech options to help you feel calm and relaxed during your appointments. We'll help you get through every appointment in the most pain-free way possible. If you're having a dental emergency, we'll try and get you in the same day you call, because we don't like to see anyone in pain. As my daughter Rachel says,
if you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth, because they're the only ones you get.
This is Chad, owner of AM950. I've been going to Chambliot Family Dentistry for years. They get me in last minute when I'm in pain and make regular checkups easy and comfortable.
Chambliot Family Dentistry in Hopkins and St. Paul. Find them online at ChambliotFamilyDentistry.com or call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH.
Tom Hartman here, and you can catch the Tom Hartman Show during your lunch break from 11 to 2 every weekday right here on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, you're not alone. Strong Hearts Native Helpline can help you through these difficult and uncertain times. Strong Hearts Helpline is a free 24/7 confidential domestic dating and sexual violence helpline for Native Americans. Help is available by calling 1-844-762-8483 or by clicking on the chat now icon on strongheartshelpline.org. This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
We use technology every day to help manage our lives. Why not use it to help manage your medications? St. Paul Corner Drug offers several free tools to keep you on track while taking your medications. Use our mobile app to quickly order a refill, or the MedsOnQ application, which turns your smartphone or tablet into your very own personal medication attendant. Email and text messaging options let you know when your medication is ready for pickup, making efficient use of your time. St. Paul Corner Drug, pharmacy the way it should be.
Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. Even though Auto Technical is a small nonprofit, we have helped more families with transportation than any organization in Minnesota. Since 94, we have reconditioned donated vehicles so they have a higher tax benefit. Call Richard at 612-919-5526. 612-919-5526 or autotech.org.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for cloudy skies overnight with a low around 63, Saturday a chance for rain with a high near 77, and Sunday partly cloudy with a high around 71.
Is estate planning still on your to-do list, or are you overdue for an update? Get started today with Troman Law in St. Paul. Call 651-571-2515 or visit TromanLaw.com. That's ChromenLaw.com.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I am your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Great organization.
Yes.
You know,
they sure are.
Yeah, and they keep doing the work. So, hey, mm-hmm. we're here with State Senator Mary Kunish, and... we're just, it's Friday and we're just chilling out and talking mm-hmm. about real stuff. And it's always great to have her on. Newly Gaga, which is grandma for Ho-Chunk. Mm-hmm. That's just exciting. Welcome back, Mary. Oh, somebody put you on mute. Here we go. Oh.
Did Robert?
I did. I muted myself.
Okay.
After a week off, you're you kind of missed it here a little bit. You're a little off here.
Rusty, I guess.
Yeah. So yeah, what else you got going on? I know state senator stuff's coming up. You know, tell us what it looks like with you. And I miss teaching. I miss the kids, but. what I'm seeing out there with COVID and what I'm seeing out there with all the restrictions and things, I'm glad I retired personally at this time.
Yeah, it is really, really tough. So, you know, not only have I been working on my neighbor just rang my doorbell. Not only have I been working on the against Line 3 this summer, but there's been a lot of interest in the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women's bill, as well as our new Missing and Murdered Indigenous Relatives Office, which is pretty incredible. This past session, we passed legislation to create the very first permanent governmental office addressing the MMIW pandemic. And we're calling it the Office of the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Relatives. And that office is going to have 4 employees and is going to be 100% dedicated to preventing and ending the tragedy, the targeting of our Indigenous women and children and Two-Spirits. And so they've been busy doing all the bureaucracy to create this office. We will be putting out the ability for folks to apply as the executive director for this office. And then from that point, they'll be adding 3 more. But I'm just really, really excited. It's the first in the nation, you guys. There's no other office like this.
I know, working in Wisconsin now and being involved with Wisconsin politics, I played golf with the governor just a week ago. They're way behind. So it's just proud what I can say, what you've done and all the people with you and walk with you that have done with Missing and Murdered Indigenous Relatives. I have a quick question, because I don't know if I dreamt this or if you talked about this at the show, but I think you did something brilliant here where you added on to that, meaning you've opened up more people under that umbrella of
the relative
missing
part instead of the women's part. Is that what you mean, Robert?
No, I think we opened it up. Didn't you open it up to African Americans too? The missing African American bill?
So, you know, we all know that the violence against women and girls is just probably one of the most heinous things in the world. But Native American women and Black women have the highest incidences of violence and murder and rape and just, you know, horrors than any other group in our nation. And so while we worked really hard to create this for the Indigenous community, we also knew that these horrors were happening with others, such as our women and girls. And so this year, Representative Ruth Richardson introduced a bill very similar to the MMIW bill we had, Missing and Murdered African American Women. We passed that piece of legislation too. I carried that one in the Senate. Mm-hmm. And so now we will be doing much of the same work we did for our Indigenous community, for our Black women as well.
I thought that was brilliant, and I guess I didn't dream it, but listen to the show, Wendy.
It is
a good dream, though,
if you did have it, and a good idea, there you go.
No, but I thought that was brilliant, because now that you've established MMIRW, Missing Murdered Indigenous Relatives, mm-hmm. go to the next step, and I thought that was brilliant that you did that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, you know, and I have to remind everyone that bill, the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women's Task Force bill, was written in collaboration and with the spirit of the Indigenous community, because when I first had the inception of creating this task force, I really wanted to be intentional about asking the community, what do you want here? Do you want it? You know, first of all, do you even want this? Because it is really re-traumatizing. And there is a lot of shame and fear and pain connected to it. And they said, absolutely, yes, we do want this to happen. And then I asked them to join me in writing the details of the bill, like who should be in it, who should not be in it, how are we going to meet, what do you want to see happen, what are the outcomes and the expectations from this task force. And so it really is, you know, with the community, for the community, and by the community. And the Missing and Murdered African American Women's Task Force will be very, very much the same, because I think when women and the community who is most affected by it has buy-in and has the ability to speak to the issue, it's so much more valuable and pertinent.
Yeah, Kathy, I don't know if you see that. Kathy has a question, and it's a great question. How can we help, and how can we support your work and what you're doing with this particular bill or bills?
Sure. Well, one really cool thing that has happened since we passed that piece of legislation is I was contacted from somebody up in Duluth who would like to begin some kind of a reward pool of money in order to kind of tease out some of the information and facts. Oftentimes, what we found that oftentimes different people in the community know bits and pieces of a certain issue, and it's really hard to put all those pieces together if they don't come forward and tell us about it. Sometimes and oftentimes they're afraid. Oftentimes they don't quite understand, you know, there's something, but they don't know what it is and how to articulate it. And so we would like to create within the MMIR office a reward fund. So eventually people will actually be able to donate towards that fund. But in the meantime, the best thing that you can do is to support the organizations that are already there doing the work. I'm thinking of like Mending the Sacred Hoop, Minnesota American Indian Women's Resource Center, some of these places that provide safe places for women who are victims of violence or abuse. Those are the sort of things that you can do at this point. And if you see something, say something. You know, sex trafficking is happening all the time. If you see anything going on that seems suspicious or makes you uncomfortable, please report it.
Yeah. Also, one of our advertisers, the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition.
And
so that they do the most incredible work, and they provide the most incredible support for, you know, not just our Native women, but for the community at whole. And that's the best way that you can help right now.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That is powerful. Mm-hmm. I had a question, but I just totally forgot. I'm just overwhelmed here. But Wendy, take over the show.
Well, we went to the powwow the last time, Robert, remember? And the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition was there.
Yeah.
And they had a booth with all kinds of different flyers and information, you know, for women to call in and to get help with all these different problems. And it's such a great group. It really is.
We're going to showcase them in our store in downtown Minneapolis, too, where we're going to have a little part for them where they can have their information and things like that.
Yeah, we'll be advertising that soon as we get going here. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mary knows what we're talking about. She's seen the Dayton spot.
Like, what?
Exactly. But it's just a powerful thing. And I think what I was going to ask you too is, we talked about this before, but I think it's worth bringing up to new listeners, is I could not believe the story about what happened to our Native sisters up in Lake Superior with all these foreign boats up there that would disappear, be thrown off the ship. You know, all these things that just a couple of years ago I heard these stories and I had no idea, Mary.
Yeah, I really did not know all of that either until I started this work. So what Robert's speaking to is that, you know, the ports up north, like especially out of Duluth, have for generations been like a sieve for our Native women, and actually Canadian women as well, going in and out of that port and into international waters. And they're sex trafficked. And it's one of the, you know, one of the the super secret, dark, ugly facts about Minnesota, because Minnesota is actually the 13th largest center for human trafficking. Sure. And Duluth, being a port city and has ships coming in and out, leaving the port, it has just been perfect for the historic ability to sex traffic girls. And so, yes, we've heard those stories where they're sort of enticed, and I often say seduced. They, you know, these sex traffickers really prey on vulnerable women and girls, and then get them into their grips, and oftentimes will then put them on ships where they are sex trafficked in international waters, way out there. They can't get off. They can't call for help if they aren't, if they aren't cooperative. We've heard stories that they're just thrown out of the water. And so this is another issue that we definitely have to continue putting a lot of attention to.
Well, thank you for stopping by, Mary, a big peenie-geegee, and really congratulations on being a Gaga. Very powerful medicine, and keeping the circle going. That's just awesome. Thanks for stopping in.
Thanks, you guys. Have a really good weekend. Happy Indigenous Peoples Day.
Perfect. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
My friends and relatives in four directions, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pinigigi, and thank you for your support.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
This is Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm Awake.
We are Alusa Nation.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I am your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
That was pretty good. We didn't see the wolf come up, and that's usually when I crack up when Lewis puts
up the howling wolf.
And then I lose my mind. But today I was focused because it didn't pop up, and my howl was there on target.
Exactly.
Are we boring you, Ogama? She's yawning on camera.
It's just been a long week, and it's going to be a long weekend, and I'm a tired person right now.
Let me tell you, as a 60-year-old, it's a long life. Not just a long week.
Exactly. Go ahead. Goodness.
Wendy, this is Fun Friday, and we love to get Lewis involved with this too.
Yeah.
That's rock and roll. What do you got going on here?
Exactly. Thanks, everyone. My name is Hanajihihani. That means cares for them.
I always like to thank Curtis for my name. So thank you, as always, Curtis. I am a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level, and it's always my pleasure to do that. But you know what? I couldn't sleep last night, Robert. I was like up till...
I couldn't sleep at all last night.
I really couldn't. Oh, and at like 3 o'clock in the morning, I walked out of the back of our house, and we have a whole bunch of windows back there, and I saw this big, giant raccoon out there, and he kind of comes and visits us every now and then. We call him Rocky, and we have some bird feeders out there, and, you know, there's a bowl of water and stuff. So he comes, he has some seeds, and he drinks some water, and he hangs out. But I took some pictures of him too. I showed you today. But he was really tall. Like, he was sitting on the ground and reaching up to the bird feeder, and he was like 4 feet tall, this raccoon.
Oh,
raccoon. It was ridiculous. Yes, he was. I'm telling you, he was really tall. But anyway, I found this little article here about 20 furry facts about raccoons, and it's kind of fun. It's written by Bethany Rollinson, and it was just updated on March 17th, 2021. So did you know that a collective name for a group of raccoons is called a nursery or a gaze?
Did you know that, Lewis?
A nursery or a gaze?
A nursery.
Nursery or
a gaze? I've never heard gaze.
A gaze.
I've heard gaze because they stare at you with their beady little raccoon eyes, but I have not heard
wearing
nursery.
That mask.
Underneath the porch.
Yeah. So, you know, the lifespan of a raccoon, I want you guys to think about this. In the wild, how long would you think raccoons live in
the wild? 8 years.
Any other 15. Guesses?
5 years if I don't commit them with a bat.
Oh, no. Maybe after these fun facts, that won't happen anymore. So in the wild, raccoons only live for 2 or 3 years.
What?
I know. I had no idea. While raccoons
can live
up to 20 years in captivity.
They're shady, too. They're like little gangsters with their masks and stuff. Mm-hmm. I see them running around together and raising heck.
Exactly.
Like
I know. Well, I'm going to scroll down here because it tells us what do you think is the biggest accidents or killers of raccoons besides Lewis's baseball bat?
I'd say probably road highways.
Getting run over.
Mm-hmm. That is the biggest killer of raccoons is car accidents.
Oh.
Yeah, they don't have many natural predators, although like cougars, bobcats, and coyotes have been known to attack them. But also disease in cities is often another major killer of raccoons. But yeah, it's the cars. And Lewis's baseball bat.
We'll have to talk about that in our HR meeting this week.
Exactly. Raccoons can make over 50 different sounds and communicate. Raccoons can hiss, purr, and growl, often heard when competing for food. And raccoons are generally nocturnal, meaning they're awake during the nighttime hours. However, due to availability of food in certain regions, a raccoon may be seen while awake during the day scavenging for food. Robert, we went for a walk not too long ago and saw like a mama raccoon and a few little babies in like a sewer. Like in the sewer, they just pop their little heads out.
Well,
we
see more of them during drought because they need their little hands to be wet when they eat.
Oh, I was just going to talk about that. Oh. A raccoon has extremely sensitive front paws, which only get more sensitive if they put them in water. They have 5 fingers on each front paw, and they can climb down trees, listen to this, head first, by rotating their hind feet 180 degrees. Isn't that crazy? Raccoons live in a variety of places, from tropical areas to busy cities. Raccoons are native to North America. Toronto, Canada has one of the biggest city raccoon populations. Yeah, in Toronto, Canada. Raccoons often live in busy cities as it provides a good substantial food source for them. And if you're watching on, you put that back up. That's hilarious. Lewis has a raccoon riding a little bicycle. It's really, really cute. Let's see what else. Oh, I had to practice this, so I'm going to say it. The scientific name for a raccoon is Paucian loader, which translate to before dog washer. The English name for raccoon is derived from Proto-Algonquian, which translates to one who rubs, scrubs, and scratches his hands. I thought that was funny.
Laura called them trash pandas. Oh. So they like they're pandas that like trash.
I know. There was no relation between dogs and raccoons, so the English terminology seems to be more accurate than that.
Is that English like in Britain or what?
There are several different species of raccoon, but there is currently only one species of raccoon that is endangered, and that's the pygmy raccoon. A group of raccoons is called a nursery or gaze. We said that earlier. Some dens contain up to 30 raccoons, although it is more common for them to contain only around 4 raccoons. The average raccoon is between 16 and 38 inches. I told you.
No, 38 inches is only 3 feet.
Their average weight is between 8 and 20 pounds. This was definitely a 20-pound raccoon that I saw last night. Oh, listen to this. Female raccoons are pregnant for about 63 days. They give birth once a year to up to 7 kits in early summer. They will probably be born in a hole in a tree or in someone's loft. They will then stay there for the first couple of months and then venture outside when they are big enough. The female raccoon raises the future offspring alone.
Wow.
Deadbeat dad raccoon. Deadbeat daddy raccoons.
All right.
And I want to listen. This is really important before we close out. Raccoons score a very high mammal IQ above cats and just below monkeys. They can open bins by using their paws to lift the lids. One study showed that raccoons can remember solutions to tasks for up to 3 years.
That's better than
so
me.
So they're really smart, and they're smarter than cats. Lucy, they're smarter than you. Oh. And just below monkeys. So that's pretty impressive. I would imagine that they would be really smart raccoons.
That's awesome. And Lewis, do you think you could just, with the last minute here, just give us a round up of your services that you offer and how to get a hold of you?
Yeah, first I want to say that the raccoon in Lakota is which itig lega, which means stripe-faced man. That's kind of the actual translation. I always think about like my ancestors, like they looked at like that looks like a stripe-faced man somewhere. So, you know, and you got him obviously riding a bike, so I guess, you know, it all works out at the end. Yeah.
Do you want to talk your services real quick?
Yeah, 30 seconds here. Yeah. If anyone wants to watch me, I'm on TikTok as well. That Lakota guy on TikTok. Absolutely.
Awesome. Hey, we exist, we resist, we rise. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier. Stop line 3. Please get vaccinated.